Good morning, listeners. This is Caroline from The City Mission, and you're listening to Faith in Crisis, serving your neighbors in need. The City Mission is running this half-hour program once a week through the rest of 2017, and we'll be sharing about several urgent issues and opportunities the church has to engage their neighbors in need around the greater Cleveland area. Today, we're really excited to talk about our Pathways program, which focuses on engaging school-aged children currently living at Laura's Home. Laura's Home has capacity for about 165 people, and anywhere from 70 to 100 of those people are children. So the Pathways program is always an exciting, evolving part of the City Mission's ministry. However, our guest knows the work and the kids best, so I'll let him introduce himself.
I'm Matthew Phipps. I'm the youth program leader at Pathways, and currently I'm overseeing our Pathways programming to school-age children. I'm pretty new to the City Mission. I've been with the mission for about 2 months now and began my employment in October.
All right. Thanks, Matthew. I know we're so glad you're here at the mission with your background and everything that you're envisioning for the future of Pathways. Now, Pathways in the youth program at the City Mission has undergone a lot of changes throughout the years. And some of our listeners may have even been involved with some of our past activities. So could you talk about what Pathways used to look like and what it's like in its current state?
Yeah, so Pathways is our programming for school-age children, kindergarten through 17. The program has changed both in size and location over time. From what I've heard, the programming used to be run from our Pathways gym at our 55th and Carnegie campus downtown. The Pathways program used to draw in hundreds of children and youth. This because it was for both children of moms in our programs, but also it served the wider neighborhood too around the Carnegie campus. Today, our Pathways program runs from our Laura's Home campus on Puritas, and it's for the women and children. This gives us an opportunity to cater our programming with a major focus on mentoring, educational assistance, and we're more able to individualize our care for children and youth. As of today, we provide after-school homework help to our children. Also, that time is designated to have programming geared towards spiritual growth through Bible studies, music, and art, for example. And we'll soon be adding back a couple of evenings a night for our teens to meet. One of those sessions will be focused on teaching our youth practical skills, and we've got a faithful volunteer that is coming previously who's going to come back and join us on Monday evenings. And for example, in the past, he's taught the teens how to make cornhole boards and kind of wire up some electrical things and teaching them real practical skills that could translate into employment in the future. Our reach to our children goes beyond just the programming times, too, and we get to spend a couple of times a week, and I'll be visiting our local school where many of our children attend. And this is a time for me to connect with the local school leadership, the Project ACT coordinator. Project ACT works with our children and youth experiencing transition and homelessness. What I love about this is that the families are really seeing the collaboration we are engaged with for all the care of our young people. We have volunteers coming in from the community too, including, for example, students from Bolden Wallace College helping our students at Laura's Home with homework, help, and social skills. I love that connection we experience with the wider Cleveland community. It's one of the rich things that is so beautiful about this city.
Wow, that is a lot going on. It certainly seems like this is a very rich program that involves the efforts of a lot of volunteers and a lot of planning on your team's side. So from a biblical perspective, why is it especially important that we care for these children that are experiencing crisis and have come to Laura's Home for help and for recovery?
Within our biblical narrative, I believe there's a clear call in which I love, because it's not left for us to wonder as Christians whether we should care for our precious and homeless children. It's mandated, and it should be intricately woven into the fabrics of our hearts. The passage in Isaiah, or Isaiah, as many people would say, but where I come from, we say Isaiah, it's the same person. But Isaiah 61, 1 through 3, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance for our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. So it's clear that the heart of God is to turn towards those whose society have often marginalized or suppressed. Christ clearly had a great love for children too. He being an advocate for their gentle faith and for their protection in this world. Mark 9 is a great example for Christ's love for children. The disciples are getting in an argument, as they often did, over who would be the greatest. So as to redirect them, Jesus chooses a child for his example. He took a little child whom he placed among them, taking the child in his arms. And I love that imagery of Jesus just scooping up a child and just giving him a hug and holding him close to his heart. He said to them, whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me. So not only do we see a lesson in how childish the disciples were being, but more importantly, we see the rawness and vulnerability of being childlike. We need to heed the advice of Christ and welcome these children, especially the most vulnerable among us, as if we're welcoming Christ himself. As a community, we need to care for our homeless youth and children because it should be our moral and human response. Indeed, it's a mark of a community, again, in how we treat the most vulnerable among us. And these precious children are our next community leaders, the next generation of pioneers and innovators. If we give them the freedom and the chance to be all God has created them to be because they are created in his image. With all the good work the City Mission and other organizations are doing, we still need more efforts to come together because we long for a day when no children are walking our street uncertain of where they will sleep that night. One of my favorite authors, C.S. Lewis, once said, "I believe in Christianity as I believe the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else." When our eyes are focused on Christ, we won't be able to miss his heart for our precious and homeless children and youth.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that perspective, Matthew. Those are some really powerful words, talking about how we can live out our faith and the grace and mercy that Christ has shown to us, to these children that are experiencing crisis. And not only that, but you're right, the children are our future. Someday they'll be making decisions and hopefully living out life as part of the church. So it's so important that we show them that love and care now, show them that they are valued and worthy. Now, I'm sure there's a variety of answers to this next question, but what types of experiences might cause a family and a child to experience homelessness?
I think one of the things that's on my heart, being new to my role working with homeless children and teens, is that in some ways we need to still lift a societal stigma that looks down on our youth and kids. One way we can do this is to remember that our children did not choose homelessness. So let's continue to educate our children and ourselves on that so that when our homeless children have the opportunity to be in school, they're not seen as less than or less valuable or less important. More than 1 million children are homeless or at risk of homelessness every year in the United States. So this matters. Homelessness is, in fact, caused by so many tragic life occurrences. It could be the loss of a loved one, a job loss, domestic violence is one we often see, divorce and family disputes. There's so many things that can cause a family to be in homelessness. And so we remember, too, that many of us could just be that one loss of a job or of a loved one or in some kind of situation that could lead us, too, into that same place. And I think that increases our understanding and compassion towards those that are experiencing homelessness. Also, we see that mental illness is a big reason, too, that families will experience homelessness and that our children will end up on the streets as well. And so we see in them, in both their parents and also in our children, a lot of PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder as well, as a major contributor as to why a family may experience homelessness.
Yeah, what you just said echoes a lot of what our program managers expressed in some earlier episodes about the range of experiences and types of people that experience homelessness. And for children, the situation is even more out of their control. So what kind of state are they in mentally and emotionally when they arrive at Laura's home?
There's so many reasons why a family will come to Laura's home, some already listed. However, initially when a child arrives to us, they are often apprehensive, anxious, And it will take them some time to sum up the people and the environment. And consciously and subconsciously, they're asking those questions, those life questions. Am I safe here? How long will I be here? Will I just survive? That meaning when they arrive to us, they're in crisis. That child is often in survival mode. I've been thankful to be able to take some training with Bridges Out of Poverty of Ruby Payne's work. And through Bridges, they would often refer to these kind of moments as the tyranny of the moment. And it's in those tyranny of the moments, it's hard to look beyond the crisis. You're just trying to survive it. That said, when many of our children arrive to us at Laura's home, they're in that tyranny of the moment. So we want to create that environment where they feel safe and they can quickly know that they are both safe and loved and that they are free to express who they are and who God's created them to be.
Yeah, for so many kids, Laura's home is a completely new experience. And if not, maybe they've had a poor experience in another shelter or crisis center. So it must be challenging to help them feel comfortable when they first arrive. What ways do you help a child feel safe and welcome at Laura's home in the Pathways program?
Because we know that children are in that tyranny at the moment, we extend so much grace to them. We give them a chance to adjust to these new and safe surroundings. And so we make our Pathway staff and volunteers available to them, to mentor them and to give our kids an ear that will listen without judging and that deeply, deeply cares for our children that come to Laura's home. We create safe places for the children to come after school and on their weekdays off, where they can come in and enjoy programming, educational help, and we importantly address the social and spiritual walk too, knowing that there's a safety and confidence that occurs when children know that they are of such value to Christ, that they are deeply loved by Him. As we said earlier, as you welcome these children, you welcome me. And so those words of Christ ring dear in our hearts, that we know that as we are entertaining our guests, as we're entertaining these children, it's as if we're entertaining Christ Himself. So also we collaborate where possible with their schools and agencies, the counselors they might be working with. We're trying to be a community to our children, to be a tribe, to help lessen the overwhelming changes that occur at one time in the moments when they arrive into our Pathways programming.
Well, I know your team works hard at building that community and trust that you talk about. So once a child is integrated at Laura's home and they begin to build relationships that they can count on, what are your goals for that child? It must be different for everyone, but what are the overarching hopes for anybody who enters the Pathways program at any age?
I could sum up my goals for Pathways in four steps, and I was a pastor for a few years in the United Methodist Church, and so we really like our four-point illustrations. The first being spiritual depth. Through Bible studies, small group times, mentoring, and the arts, we want our children to know that they are loved and cared for by the heart of Christ, and that they are valued by our staff and our volunteers and by the community of Laura's home. The second goal is academic growth. While being in that tyranny of the moment of life that I discussed earlier, maybe even before school has been added or re-added to their picture, life can just feel too much. So we want to provide safe environments for our children, our future and our current leaders, to grow and be nurtured in their academic pursuits, not just to grow intellectually, but also to be in educational environments where they, our children, can get lost, if just for a moment, in their imaginations and dreams of what they can be in life and how life can be. This is where literacy can be beautiful therapy. The third goal would be to increase mental and behavioral health opportunities for our children and teens. As mentioned a few times, I really see value when we collaborate with our agencies and ministries. Many of our children have experienced horrendous and horrific things. They experience PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. So going forward, we will continue to partner our Pathways programming with agencies that can help our children with mental and behavioral health issues they're experiencing. And we'll begin with some of these programs in January. The fourth goal would be community partnerships. It's a Pathways goal because our children are going to schools and many are seeing counselors and people from various agencies who really care for them. So we want to partner with those places so that our children know we're pulling together for both their safety and their healing.
There you have it, the four goals. That keeps it very simple and easy to remember. Thanks for sharing. Now, all of this has to mean something for the moms, too. The Pathways program makes a huge difference in their walk and journey at Laura's home. Can you talk more about that with us?
I think for our moms that come to Laura's home, those with kids, and some of our moms may have 2, 3, 4, 5, even more children that are with them. So I think having the Pathways programming available to them is just such a wonderful opportunity, because it makes them feel safe, because as they're in their moment and as they're working through their own tyranny of the moment, that kind of crisis moment, it's so valuable for them to know that their children are cared for, that they can have a safe place where they can receive help, as I said previously, with homework help and with social skills. And so for our moms, I think it's one of the parts of their experience at Laura's home that is super encouraging to them, because they just know that those children are going to be safe, that they're going to grow, that they would just have the opportunity to know that they are just deeply loved. And because they know their moms are working hard, these children, and we remind them that often, how hard that their moms are working in the different sessions and phases of our Laura's Home programming. And so it's great for the moms to know, too, that their children have a place where they can grow and develop, be nurtured, and just experience God's love and Christ's heartbeat for them, and also grow in their academic excellence as well. And as we go forward in some of their mental and behavioral health issues that have just been acquired through this time of being in that tyranny of the moment.
That really is a beautiful picture of what Laura's Home is all about. Not just healing for the moms and not just healing for the kids, but healing as a whole family. And it must be really special for you to be a part of that, Matthew. So would you mind sharing with us what you enjoy most about working in the Pathways program?
There's so many things that I enjoy about my work with children and youth in Pathways. Mostly, I enjoy the opportunity I have with my volunteers to ascribe value and instill faith in our young people. Also, those sweet moments where I can remember when a child has first come into Laura's home, and now that a few weeks into their experience, sometimes even a few days, they start to realize that this is a place where they can just breathe, where they can experience freedom, where they can experience just the unconditional love of Christ and the love of the community. And so really, there's nothing more exciting than when I see a child that, whether they've been there for a long time or a short time, but you can just see that they're experiencing joy, just overwhelming joy, that they feel safe enough that they can be themselves, and especially that they can be the people that God has created them to be in His image. And so when I see that, and when I see them coming alive in that, and just feeling the confidence that not only can they just breathe and exist, but also that they have the opportunity to succeed and excel in the giftings that God has placed upon their life, the ones they know about and the ones they're still learning about. And I just love that so much, and it just makes it an absolute joy to go into Laura's home in the days that I get to go in, even if my mind is tired and my body is worn out, just knowing that those precious moments will exist during the day make it all worth it.
Yeah, I bet spending 8 hours or more a day with dozens of children can get pretty tiring, but as you said, it also sounds very rewarding. Could you share some specific stories you might have from your time in the Pathways program that help illustrate what that part of our ministry is all about?
There's been so many stories that I could probably write a small book already of the impact that Pathways is having with our children and with our moms. But I love when children come up to me and they can recite a memory verse they've learned from Miss Mary. Miss Mary is one of our weekly and regular volunteers coming in every Wednesday. And so it's so exciting when they come up, when they realize, hey, I've been able to retain this information, and just the joy that's on their faces, that they've remembered this, and not just remembered it intellectually, but that it actually has sunk into their hearts, that those verses, that they've really listened to the words, and they've really captured the love of Christ and the love of people for them. And so I just love that pride they get, that excitement when they've remembered something, and they can't wait to get to that next Wednesday to tell Miss Mary all about it. Another story that really has stood out to me is that we've had one child in particular who's just been going through so much, as many of our children are. And it's been a really, really hard season for this child and for the mother and the family. The feeling of being overwhelmed has led the child to act out more, both at Laura's home, but in Pathways and in the school as well. And during a conversation with a parent just this week, the mother asked, would the child be able to keep coming back and be welcomed into our programming? And we were able to say to that mother, absolutely. And the mother said, well, what if this student struggles again and acts out in some ways and we see further incidents? And we were able to reply to that mother and to that family, we're just going to keep showing love and grace. The mother was in tears as she realized not only the love of God in action from our Pathways and Laura's home workers, but also she saw the community in action. As I worked with her Project ACT coordinator and school faculty to make a care plan for this child.
Those are two very precious stories. Thank you so much for sharing with us, Matthew. And I'm sure being new here, you're going to have a lot more to share over your time at the City Mission. So you mentioned that you were involved with a church staff before, and now you're here at the City Mission working in this type of ministry. So you probably have a great perspective on this next question. How would you like to see the church at work in our Pathways program at Laura's home?
I think the best way that we really can see the church in action in our Pathways programming is for people to be visible. We get so many great gifts and donations, and we are so beyond grateful for the generosity of the churches and the great people of Cleveland and beyond. Though the donation of time and the value to a child of you, the church, showing up is huge and just speaks volumes to them. So we need helpers for our after-school programs Monday through Friday. We also have the need for groups, churches, offices, etc. Anyone who's just got a passion to come in and work with kids, especially to show them the love of Christ, to sponsor our Adopter Days. Our Adopter Days are a time, especially during the school year, when groups can come in and they can take both a morning and an afternoon session or either or, and you can come in and you could bring crafts to make with our kids, share stories with them. If you like, a good example would be this, that it's kind of like a miniature VBS, Vacation Bible School, for our kids with games and activities and crafts and snacks. It's going to be full of fun, full of faith, and it's just a great opportunity for your church to get involved with our programming. Aside from that, there's so many ways to volunteer with our Pathways programming, and so you can go onto our website with the citymission.org, and you can find my email under our Pathways programming tab, and just shoot me an email at mphipps@thecitymission.org, and I'll be sure to find ways to connect you with our volunteer and intern supervisor, Miss Jamie Buxton. And also, I'll be happy to help you as well. Find your exact place of where you can just come alive in your calling to serve and to love our homeless children and youth within the city of Cleveland.
All right. Yes, so many ways to help. And you don't have to be an expert with children to be able to serve in Pathways. Matthew and Jamie, as he said, our volunteer coordinator, is excellent at helping people find their talents and what they're passionate about, and integrating it in ways that will benefit these children who need these mentors and relationships in their lives. So as we wrap things up, it is the Christmas season, and it would be really great to hear what we could be looking out for on social media and online about what some of the kids in Pathways are doing during the holiday season. There's probably a few Christmas-specific things that our listeners would enjoy hearing about. So would you mind sharing with us?
Yeah, as you can imagine, this is just a fun time of year for us in our Pathways programming, but it's also, we realize, can be a difficult time for our kids, and maybe they're missing some family members that are currently not with them in the Pathways programming or in Laura's home. And so we really want to make this a special time of the year. And at Laura's home, there's so many different events that are going on, and we're so thankful for the many volunteers and churches and organizations that are coming in to make it just a really special season for our families. Within the Pathways programming, we will have several opportunities for our children to come together. We're going to have Christmas movie nights. We're going to have some decorating parties where they're going to get to make some Christmas ornaments. They're going to help us just decorate that whole Pathways multipurpose room at Laura's home. So we're really excited for that. And even already we're starting to see as we introduce some Christmas-themed crafts and some of the stories, especially around the birth narrative of Christ, that our children are just really excited for the season. And so we want to just keep adding more and more opportunities for them just to just get absorbed, just with the joy that comes around this time of the year. And also just to continue to be aware, again, of some of the challenges they might experience this time of the year. And so we want to just find so many chances for them just to jump in. So they're going to be making cookies and decorating them. I mentioned already the ornaments that will be happening in the decorating. So one of the kind of unique and exciting things that we've got going on with our Pathways programming at this time of the year and actually running through this week is that we're inviting our school-age children to enter a Christmas story writing competition. And so we're asking them to come up with between 5 to 10 pages, and we're not anticipating all those pages being filled with writing. We're going to have our youngest children, from our kindergartners to our oldest teenagers, participating in this. So there's going to be various prizes for the different age groups that we're going to be handing out at the end of this competition. But it's just a great chance for them to enjoy having a time where they can just dream and increase their imagination and think about a story that they would like to write. And so I've already seen some really creative stories go out there, and some of them too are being written in a very personal way as well, as some of our children are kind of documenting in a using the Christmas season of their own story of being at Laura's home as well. So we're anticipating some really fantastic stories, and we're excited that we'll be able to read some of those stories to some of our younger children in our child care department as well. And so that's one thing that's happening as well that's pretty exciting during this Christmas season.
That all sounds so fun, and hopefully we can get some of those stories and pictures posted on our social media channels. Thank you, Matthew, so much for your time today. We're glad you're here at the City Mission, and we're glad that the Kids of Pathways are being fulfilled in so many different ways. If our listeners out there want to get involved with Pathways, you can head to www.thecitymission.org/volunteer, and you'll be able to learn about some of the unique opportunities specific to our Pathways program. As always, we're so glad that you tuned in today, and we hope you'll tune in again next week, Thursday at 10 a.m. for Faith in Crisis, a program produced by the City Mission. Have a great day.